Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to this week's High Plains Outdoors. What about Western Swing and other things? What a way to start a Saturday morning listening to this good music and talking about the outdoors. Guess who's with us today? Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, a good friend of mine and fellow Texan. And we're going to talk about probably deer. Larry, thank you, buddy, for being here.
Good morning. You're right. That's the kind of music I grew up on and kind of listen to every opportunity that I have. So great being with you this morning. You're right. Let's talk a little bit about whitetail deer. I mean, we're into an absolutely fabulous spring. We've got a lot of great vegetation on the ground. And speaking about on the ground, it won't be long. And in some areas, we've already got a few whitetail fawns on the ground.
That's right, Larry. Where I live, it's just now, I haven't seen them, but I've lived here long enough to know when they're born. I think the gestation is like 201 days. Well, the rut here is going heavy the first week in November, maybe the end of October. When those fawns hit the ground, Larry, whether they're up, folks are listening to us in Nebraska and, you know, Kansas, that far north, there's different habitat, of course, wherever they're born, but they hang with some heavy cover the first couple of weeks, the babies do, don't they?
They really do. Generally what happens is the mother will clean them up, and then she'll position them. She's got twins. Generally, she'll put one in one area, and she'll move a little way and put the other one in another place. That's kind of a means of survival in case a predator such as a coyote or a bobcat gets one of them. But what happens those first days, up to about 7 to 10 days, that fawn will lay down and he'll stay, or she will stay exactly right there, won't move hardly at all until that mother starts kind of making a grunting sound and gets to come over where they can nurse. But so they're pretty safe those first few days, particularly if there's vegetation on the ground. In those years where we have a drought situation where there's not a whole lot of grass or vegetation, they're very visible to coyotes, bobcats, and to some extent wild hogs as well too. But for the most part, like we are this year, the fawns are pretty safe, I think, those first few days. Now, once they get to that, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks period, that's a lot of times when we lose fawns due to predation, because that's when that flight and our fright and flight kind of starts kicking in. And once that happens, if that coyote walked real close to where that fawn is bedded, then there's a good chance some of them will lay there and let them walk by, but some of them will also jump up and run. And generally, those that jump and run are the ones that get caught and eaten pretty quickly.
You know, about this time last year in a patch of woods near my house here, Larry, I was walking in some, it's woods, but there was weeds up waist high too. There's little openings in the woods.
Right.
I almost stepped on a little fawn. And I got up real close, and this little deer did jump up, about the size of a big jackrabbit, you know.
Right.
Took off running, and I thought, man, I'm glad, you know, I'm hoping it makes it through the coyote stage, you know, because I know that would just be an easy catch. And bobcats also, they also take a few, don't they?
They really do. Bobcats are very, very efficient predators, and I can tickle some time to talk about mountain lions or cougars. If the cougar were as efficient as taking down animals as what the bobcat is, I'm not sure there'd be a whole lot of four-footed critters in a lot of parts of the country. And we're into a cycle, it seems like, based on the conversations I've had with people across pretty much North America, that we are into a time when we have got a lot of bobcats and we've got a lot of coyotes. We've had good prey base for them due to the rainfall, and that we've had in a lot of different areas, particularly in parts of like where we are in Texas. But in other areas as well, too. So that predator population is pretty darn high right now.
You know, I wish we had about 3 hours this morning to visit with you, Larry, but we don't. We've got about 30 more seconds. But I've noticed a lot of, I usually shoot every cow that crosses my path, and which is, as smart as they are, that doesn't happen every time I go out hog hunting or whatever, but I try to keep them thinned out. Larry, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll get you back soon, and we'll talk some more deer, you know, deer hunting, or let you tell about an escapade out in Africa that you're about to head out to. How about that?
It'll be my pleasure.
Today's High Plains Outdoors is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT that I use to night hunt with, and Catfish Bubblegum.